Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If I said to you the following words, I suspect you would know precisely about whom I am speaking. This is Wretched Radio. White jacket, televangelist, faith healer. Almost certainly the words Benny Hinn come to mind. He is internationally famous. He has been on international TV for years. And if anybody represents the face of the prosperity movement, it is almost certainly Benny Hinn. Well, Benny Hinn doesn't exist on this planet all by himself. He actually has family. And we have the privilege of talking to one of his family members today. His name is Costi Hinn. His father's name is Henry, pastoring a church in Canada. Benny was pastoring a church in Florida, but as his fame increased, he decided to stop being a pastor of a local church, and he spent his days on the road doing major conferences around the globe. His nephew, the son of Pastor Henry Hinn, traveled with his Uncle Benny for 2 years. In other words, Costi Hinn knows what he's talking about. He knows the behind the scenes. He knows Uncle Benny Hinn better than you and I ever will. And we have a privilege today because Costi has written a book called Defining Deception, Freeing the Church from the Mystical Miracle Movement. Read the book. It is a very fast read. Encourage you to get it. Read it. It will teach you the history of the charismatic movement. It will help you understand the main players. It will help you understand where this movement came from because it really exploded onto the scene in the very early 20th century. And now, I dare say it is the fastest growing version of Christianity in the world. To talk to us about that movement is the nephew of Benny Hinn, Costi Hinn. Costi, very grateful, sir, that you're joining us today on Wretched.
Thankful to be here, Todd. I really appreciate your ministry.
We'll just see if you say that in a few minutes, Pally. All right. I've got a few questions for you, obviously, yeah. Costi. Do you hate your uncle?
Absolutely not.
Do you have an axe to grind?
No. I'm not sure what the phrase means, but do I have a bone to pick? Would that be another one?
Yeah, sure.
Not at all.
All right. Would you like to see your Uncle Benny hurt, thrown in jail, ostracized, mocked?
Definitely not.
All right. With that in mind, sir, you traveled with your uncle for 2 years, working for him on the road. I would like to ask you, Costi, if you were watching television one night and you're flipping through the channels, because that's what we men do, we flip through the channels, and there appears your Uncle Benny Hinn on a platform on Christian TV asking for money. Costi, would you send money into your uncle's ministry?
I wouldn't, and that's because working with him and really growing up in the inner circle of the faith healing and prosperity gospel and word of faith movement and add all the others, charismatic, third wave, all of that, I saw where the money went. I knew why we would begin to fundraise harder at certain times throughout the year based on spending and whatnot. And it's a lifestyle that is built for us on the backs of the sick and the poor, and donations are key to maintaining that lifestyle. And so I know there's well-intentioned people that give money to faith healers and little old ladies that are really being deceived. And so they mean well, and I think God is merciful and saves many people out of the movement. We know that happens all the time. But no matter the intentions of people who give, that money is going towards maintaining the lifestyle of that man or woman.
All right, so reason number one, you would not give money to your uncle. And I, I pondered that statement. I had to imagine if my uncle were in ministry and he appeared on television and said, send in money, or he even asked me directly, would you give money to the ministry? To say no to a family member is a very profound statement. So number one, you would say the money is not stewarded well. Would you please give us an example of how the money that many people give, poor people, people who are hoping for a miracle, who are promised things, where's some of that money going, Costi?
Well, when I say to maintain a man or woman's lifestyle, I want to be clear, and you and I both know that biblically speaking, in the church, we support the local church, and pastors all have a lifestyle. So that's great that men and their families can live and serve the church full time, and that's great. But when I say lifestyle, I mean excessive lifestyle. Homes and properties upwards of $10 million, and I'm being conservative so that my integrity's intact and we don't exaggerate, but the number gets a lot higher when you add in multiple properties. Our hotel, when I traveled, one of my favorite places, and I've mentioned this before, was the Burj Al Arab, the massive hotel in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates that's shaped like a sail. It's on a man-made island. You get picked up in three luxury cars, and we stayed in the royal suite. I remember sleeping in my own room within the royal suite. There were multiple rooms. The square footage is beyond what most people will ever own if they had two homes put together, and it was $25,000 per night to stay in the royal suite. And the hotel has actual gold all throughout it, literally thousands and thousands of tons of gold. You can look this up. It's legit. And then we had an entourage with us, and so there were other suites that we had for what was a layover on our way to go and serve in India, in Mumbai, for that crusade in 2004 that had over 1 million people in attendance. And that would give you an idea of how we're living, or how I was, and still my family members do, off of donations. And the travel was not on Emirates or Cathay Pacific or United Airlines. The travel was on a Gulfstream 4 that we leased from Morris Cirillo in Florida. At that time, we were leasing it. And so it's birds of a feather flock together. And there is one thing that you enjoy above it all. It's not the gospel. It's not the glory of Christ. It's not the joy of doing real ministry. It's a lifestyle that gives you anything you want.
Costi, you talk about in your book, again, it's called Defining Deception. When you went to school in Canada, either your mother or your father would drive you to school in what kind of vehicle?
Mercedes-Benz.
I see. So you really, from whether it was traveling with Uncle Benny or just your family lifestyle at home, was funded on the donations of people who gave, trusting that it would be used well.
Yeah, and we tied ourselves into Christ and into the gospel. So to give you an idea, we would always elevate the man of God so that when people were giving, they were giving to support the man of God, who is God's mouthpiece and his herald. And therefore, when people are giving to us, and we lived, the square footage was just under 10,000 square feet, our mansion up in Canada, with the Benzes and all that lifestyle. I had my own sport court growing up, a hot indoor hot tub, steam room, outdoor pool, we lived like it was the Ritz-Carlton every day. And that is applauded because we're serving the Lord. And we should be taken care of. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. And you shouldn't muzzle the ox while he's treading the grain. And every scripture is twisted. And, of course, we are the benefactors.
As you mentioned, a pastor should indeed be paid for his labors. The ox shouldn't be muzzled. But your particular ox was getting a little bit fat on the feedings of poor people. All right. So, Costi, you would not give money to your Uncle Benny Hinn's ministry because the money is not stewarded well. What would be reason number two?
Reason number two would be that the gospel he's preaching, that the donations are going towards, which the donations are really funding the lifestyle, is a false gospel. It is the Jesus of Word of Faith theology, the Jesus who was just a man who was anointed by God, and therefore you can be just like him, the Jesus who was born again, the Jesus who just really wants you healthy, happy, and wealthy, Faith, not in Christ to save your soul and to be justified by faith, but faith as a force is what we taught in order to unlock all the windows and riches of heaven. That's not what faith is. Confession is confessing your sins to Christ. Romans 10:9, to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that's not a confession to get a Bentley or a Ferrari or a house. You can't use faith for salvation as faith for stuff. It doesn't work that way. And so knowing now what I understand, having studied the Word of God on these topics, and of course the Holy Spirit graciously causing the scales to fall from my own eyes and saving my life, I would never give money to that version of the gospel. And it's because it's a false gospel.
Reason number one, you would not give to Uncle Benny's ministry. The money is being frittered away. Reason number two, he doesn't preach the true gospel. When we return on Wretched with Costi Hinn, nephew of Benny Hinn, how it is that Costi and why it is that he left the employ of Uncle Benny Hinn, and what you can do and say to help somebody you know and love who may be following a prosperity preacher like Benny Hinn to get out of it. Next on Wretched Radio.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
You and I are desperately dependent upon the Spirit. Listen, you don't need to worry about seeing the Spirit. It's invisible. What you need to ask yourself is do you perceive that you are a sinner and that you are in desperate need of a Savior? If you feel that, that's the Spirit. And your opportunity right now is to repent and believe, and He will save you. For everybody else that's here, listen, you are just as dependent upon the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit now, today, as the day He first saved you. And you're not going to ever see any fruitfulness in your life or in your ministry apart from this Spirit. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You are desperately dependent upon this Spirit. And every time you share the gospel, unless the Spirit moves, they will stay dead. So we go out in prayer. We go out relying on the Spirit of God to do the work of God through the people of God.
You can get Drive-By Pneumatology and all of our Drive-By resources at wretchedradio.com. Perhaps you don't share your faith because you fear getting tongue-tied, or you fear you won't know the answer to someone's question. Good news, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Take the Big Toe Challenge. Purchase 12 or 52 copies of our new evangelistic booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe, and simply leave a copy on the table when you leave the restaurant or give it to the drive-thru attendant. It is just that easy. Take the Big Toe Challenge at wretched.org.
Sorry for the math, but these numbers are important. Did you know that it costs $28 to provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is thinking about taking the life of her own child? Did you also know that 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she keeps her child? That is some math we need to remember, because wretched people have provided enough support for preborn that thousands of babies have already been saved, thanks to you. How would you like to grow those numbers? It's $28 for an ultrasound. 80% of the time, a woman chooses life. What say we make that number tens of thousands this year? Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org, preborn.org/wretched.
You don't need to page all the way to the book of Matthew to find Jesus in the Bible. Our Savior appears in the very first book of Genesis and in every other book in the Old Testament, if you know where to find him. The Jesus Unmasked Sunday School curriculum will show your class where and how to find Jesus in the Old Testament. They'll see for themselves that the Bible is about one story only, Jesus Christ. The Jesus Unmasked Sunday School curriculum, available at wretched.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Think prosperity gospel. You almost certainly think Benny Hinn. This is Wretched Radio. Costi Hinn is the nephew of Benny Hinn. He's now pastoring a church, a good, sound, biblical church, and he's written a book called Defining Deception, Freeing the Church from the Mystical Miracle Movement. I read the book. It is a page-turner. It is very helpful in understanding the history of the prosperity gospel, the New Apostolic Reformation movement, anything that is aberrant these days that is coming out of the charismatic movement. It is covered thoughtfully. It is not delivered with animosity. Costi, I don't think I read a single snark in the entire book. It was clearly written from a position of you want to help people. And I want to get to that particular point, how we can help people that are maybe a big fan of Benny Hinn or Ken Copeland or anybody that is a prosperity preacher or, for that matter, in the New Apostolic Reformation movement, see that it is not true, that it is a false gospel, as you stated earlier, that the money is being spent so lavishly on the lifestyles of people, and it's not going to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to tackle that, and Costi, I want to do that by way of how you got out of and why you got out of this movement. I'm going to speculate on something, and I want you to tell me if this is one of the reasons. I suspect, I'm just going to guess, and you correct me, working behind the scenes for Uncle Benny, you were at the conventions, you were at these massive events that he would throw. I've seen him on TV in Mumbai, India. It seemed like hundreds of thousands of people are there, not to mention the television audience. Were you seeing people get healed, or were you seeing something else behind the scenes?
I was seeing something else, and while God is a healer, and we serve a supernatural God, and I believe that he is sovereign and can do what he wants, when he wants, and however he wants, the wholesale false promises would be another reason that I would not follow or give or support my Uncle Benny or any others who teach the similar theology, is because they're going places where people are desperate, and they're offering a wholesale healing, promising that everybody's going to get healed, promising that everyone can be healthy if you do the following things. Men like Oral Roberts back in the 40s and 50s wrote books called If You Need Healing, Do These Things. And we know now, biblically, you can't turn Christ's healing ministry into a little formula. There were times when he was moved with compassion and he healed, and other times where, like in John 5, the healing at Bethesda, the man didn't even know who Jesus was, and Jesus healed him. That's who Christ was and who he is. He heals as he wills. And we couldn't mimic that ministry, although we said we were. These places would be riddled with desperate people. I remember seeing women carrying their children, desperate, holding on to the last line of hope. I saw people in stretchers and in wheelchairs, saw people lying in the dirt in India. My dad used to run the healing lines, and I went out with him one night. And they had all the sick off to the left of the stage in one area. And Todd, the vivid imagery is still with me. There was no hope. It was my uncle on the stage in all white. We were in the dirt, and that was part of the healing line system. And you go and you pray for people, and then you pick certain ones that are beginning to maybe feel like they are experiencing something. You put them in the line. They go up. There's no real verification. That's not to say that God never heals anywhere. I'm sure there's people who have experienced his healing hand, been saved, and set free from false gospels. That's great. There's lots of testimonies out there. But never once at the hand of a so-called healer was anybody healed. And that was difficult. I had a hard time sleeping some nights. But, and I don't mean this to be funny, when you leave and you get on the leather seat on a Gulfstream jet, and you eat the fresh lasagna from your own personal chef on the plane, and you lie in the hotel, and you rejoice and talk about all the people that came, you can actually begin to convince yourself that you just did a great thing, and God's in charge of the cleanup, but we're just being faithful gospel missionaries, and you're on to the next place. So, yeah, lots of questions come up, but the lifestyle does a great job of keeping the blinders on.
Our mutual friend Justin Peters, who has cerebral palsy, who really requires definitely the aid of crutches, of a wheelchair, one of the dearest brothers on the planet. He talks about going to some of these healing crusades, and that people like himself who have a genuine organic illness. He's described people with terminal cancer. He's described people that are hooked up to oxygen. Where are those people typically seated in a healing crusade of somebody like your Uncle Benny Hinn?
We took the same model that Catherine Coleman instituted, which is to have a wheelchair section. The front sections of a healing crusade, and you can see it verified on video, I'm not making this up, are great looking, well-dressed, put together people for rows and rows. Kind of like if you've ever watched a Joel Osteen television program, when the camera shows the crowd, you have all the rows on the floor of people. Now, in your mind, just creative, intuitive kind of part of your brain, look in the back right-hand side where the hockey boards would be on the furthest side from the stage. That's the wheelchair section. Way in the back in one area. And Justin, even they filmed him. He's back there. My father is weaving through the healing lines and going wherever. They keep him as far away as possible. To this day, I don't know why, but that's where they are. And maybe they justify it by saying, well, at least they're all in one section. That's an easy way to pray for them all. But they're kept a long ways away. And the only people brought up on the platform are the people that make for a great story. And that's when you hear the healing line captain or the lead will get on the mic. And you've seen my uncle, Catherine Coleman, did it too. You know, what's happening over there? What's happening over there? And they would say, Pastor, this woman was in a wheelchair for 27 years, and today she's healed by the power of God. And the woman limps slowly across the platform. A wheelchair is placed up. And that doesn't look like the immediately that we see when Jesus healed. It doesn't look like walking and leaping and praising God. There's no instantaneous aspect of it. It is psychosomatic. It also is peer pressure. People are so desperate. They want to be healed. So they're thinking, okay, I think I feel better. Maybe if I get on stage, Benny will pray for me. I'll feel the anointing and the power of God. I'll fall. I'll get up. My healing will be complete. And those are the things now I look back and I remember as a younger man stewing on as I laid in my Egyptian thread count sheets at these hotels. And I'm lying there going, God, I think that was you. I don't know. And so questions lingered, but the next day you wake up, you put on the suit, you take a paycheck, and you go enjoy the lifestyle, and you brush it all under the rug. That's the way I lived for several years.
All right, so there you are, traveling with Uncle Benny Hinn. You are involved with everything that is going on at the Crusades, from the lavish lifestyle, the use of money, and these are multi-million dollar ministries. You're seeing that people are not getting healed. In fact, we are not aware of one instantaneous, full, organic, verifiable healing from Benny Hinn or from any supposed healing minister. And this is starting, at least to a degree, to add up. But being a little bit bummed out that maybe you're not doing the right thing all the time is not the same as being saved. Costi, how did you get saved? And how did you get saved out of this particular ministry of your Uncle Benny Hinn?
The series of events for me was tied to a different part of my life, which was baseball. The reason I signed on to serve my Uncle Benny and work for him, because I was doing kind of a word of faith, prosperity gospel method. I was putting off my college baseball days for about a year and a half to 2 years in order to serve Uncle Benny, to put God first. It was like seed faith theology. I'm going to plant a seed of faith, give up my dream, and then God will open the abundance of me and my baseball dream. So after working for him, I go and I start playing college baseball. I end up at Dallas Baptist University, and I was warned before going, those Baptists will ruin you. Be very careful. And my first class was New Testament survey with Dr. Mike Milburn. I still remember him. First Baptist Burleson, Texas. He's still there, I think. Older gentleman. And he read off the roll and he said, Costi Hinn, are you kin to Benny? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, I'll take it easy on you then. And right there, they just showed me grace. They made it fun. And Todd, I drove a Hummer, a black Hummer with TVs in it on big 22-inch rim. Yeah, I was that guy. Tinted out windows, the whole bit. I was a baller on donations. And I'm at school, and these guys, these Baptists, all the people that I used to think were the dead churches and the dead theologians and all the people that didn't have the power, they were so gracious to me. So,
what do you know? The prosperity guy meets the Baptist. We want to hear the rest of this story. Let me tell everybody first about your book. It's Defining Deception, Freeing the Church from the Mystical Miracle Movement. This is a man who knows about that which he speaks, because he's the nephew of Benny Hinn. Encourage you to get the book. Very helpful, not snarky. A historical tour of the prosperity New Apostolic Reformation movement, and it might help you help somebody get out of it.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for being here today. We always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio, and we are also grateful for your support. Your prayers, encouragement, and yes, your financial generosity allow Wretched to be wretched on the radio, on TV, on the internet, at Facebook, on YouTube, with our resources at wretched.org, which is the home of all things wretched. All of what we do is made possible by your generosity, you trusting us with your hard-earned dollars. So thank you for your generosity, for your encouragement, and for your prayers. If you would prayerfully consider joining us, that'd be terrific. Just go to wretched.org/donate. That is where you'll find all the details on how to give your tax-deductible gift, and maybe join up with our monthly gospel partners, those who support Wretched each and every month. So if you might prayerfully consider partnering with Wretched, details at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So a prosperity guy walks into a Baptist classroom. This is Wretched Radio, having a conversation with Costi Hinn, new book, Defining Deception. But Costi is not really all that new to evangelical Christianity. He done got saved in 2013. God saving anybody is always a big deal, but it sure does seem kind of remarkable when he saves the nephew of Benny Hinn. Costi Hinn's book, it's Defining Deception. Encourage you to get it to understand what I think is the fastest growing form of Christianity on the planet. We should understand what this system is, what it is all about. And this book will do it in a very, it's pithy, it's tight, it is a very fast and breezy, an interesting read. Defining Deception, Freeing the Church from the Mystical Miracle Movement. The author is Costi Hinn, the nephew of Benny Hinn. He's sharing how it is that he went from working for his uncle for a couple of years on the road, enjoying the lavish lifestyle, seeing that people were not getting healed, not hearing the true gospel being preached. He finishes his work for Uncle Benny. He believes he's basically put in his time for God. God delivers in his mind. You ended up playing baseball at a Baptist university. You start meeting these Baptists that you were warned, be careful, they could corrupt you, Costi. What happened?
I had a coach who was also, he's one of the top coaches in the nation now. He's done a great job in Division I baseball, but I would say, better than he is even a coach, he's a disciple maker. And there was one day where we were all sitting right before a scrimmage game, and there was a Yankee scout, true story, Yankee scout in the stands to see Ryan Goins, our shortstop, who ended up playing for the Blue Jays in the big leagues. Now I think he's with the Royals. It's that day. I'll never forget it, because what coach said so messed me up that the moment sticks in my mind. He says, hey, listen, everybody, relax. I know there's a scout in the stands, but God is sovereign. everybody was freaking out because if a scout's there to see another player and you do good, you can get drafted too. So he says, Proverbs 21:1 says, the heart of the king is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. God controls kings. He is sovereign. He controls scouts. So relax, go play the game, glorify God, and get over it. And I'm going, what in the world? God is sovereign. Okay, so how do I get on the good side of sovereignty? Because I need this whole thing to work out for me and what I want. And he began to tell us about God's sovereignty and about being a new creation. And we had to memorize verses and all sorts of things. And those moments were vivid in my mind because they were not only intriguing, but equally as confusing. Well, fast forward, I finished at DBU. I've got some decent Bible under my belt at that point. I know that what my family is taught is a little sketchy, but the dominoes really start falling when I meet a girl who's now my wife and the mother of my almost three kids. We're having another son in a couple months, Lord willing. So, and I meet her. She is blue collar, was working at TGI Fridays for 6 years to put herself through school. My father-in-law is an iron worker, great, hardworking man. My mother-in-law is a school teacher. My wife, well, girlfriend at the time, drove a Yaris. I drove a Hummer. So we couldn't have been more opposite. And we start courting, dating, whatever. And I'm like, I'm going to marry this girl. But there's a major issue. She is not cut from our cloth. You need to marry into a generational heritage in the prosperity gospel circles, or you could lose the anointing on your life and your mantle of ministry, kind of all the Elijah, Elisha stuff. I know it's confusing and sounds weird, but that's how we view it. And she didn't have the Holy Spirit in our view because she didn't speak in tongues as evidence of his work and her own conversion. So she was bad news. My family wasn't sure. That leads to a series of wild events. We take her to my uncle's service, my father's, a youth conference where this woman pastor tries to make her speak in tongues too. She put her little hands in the air and she tried to fall under the power and the usher caught her. I mean, she tried, Todd, so hard to get the things that she thought she had to have to be claiming that she was a Christian. It was all that typical charismatic abuse that the more extreme circles teach. And so we go to the scriptures one day and there it is, 1 Corinthians 12:30. Paul says, not all. Do they? And he's, of course, referring to gifts of healing and gifts of tongues. And everything just starts clicking. We looked at each other and I'm kind of like, I think we're off the hook. And she's crying. And I go, what else do you think we're not supposed to be doing that we're being told we're supposed to do? And so it was my coach and the sovereignty of God. It was my wife who I wanted to marry that the Lord, of course, had brought us together. And we go to the scriptures. Then we leave ministry with my family at that time. And we get a call. It was around the same couple of weeks that there was a lot of tension in the Hinn home because I was starting to say, you guys are wrong, not okay. And we get a phone call. A church in California, dear friends of ours, says, hey, we're a church plant. We need a youth guy. Would you come? I get here. They give me a preaching assignment within the first few months, and it's John 5, of all things, the healing at the Pool of Bethesda, where Jesus heals one guy out of a multitude. Does it immediately, and then the guy doesn't know who he was. So I'm going, hold on, you only healed one, you're sovereign, you did it immediately, you're powerful, and when you heal, it's legit, and he didn't know you, so he didn't have enough faith, you're sovereign, you do what you, oh my goodness. And I remember crying, repenting, I wept, I committed, I said, I'm going to serve you, Lord, I'll do whatever the church asks me to do, whatever you want me to do, I'm committing, I don't know who this MacArthur guy is from this commentary, but maybe he has more to say. I want books. I want to study. I think we've been false all these years. And illumination right there, regeneration. My heart turned. My wife was crying after because she was unsure. She was converted prior and really just confused because of the teaching. So there it was. And it was my church and my pastor and people coming around me to say, okay, let's start from scratch. And for about, well, 5 years, I lost my title. They called me pastor in training. I got into seminary, and it was Bible, 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 and I just wanted to know the real Jesus now that I had come to know.
In other words, the Holy Spirit and the Word, using people, using the Word, regenerating you. Kosti Hinn, the nephew of Benny Hinn. Now, where I ultimately want to aim with all of this, Kosti, is helping people who are either in a prosperity movement or New Apostolic Reformation movement, or helping somebody that they know who's in the movement, how to get out of it. Now, I want to tackle this, but I've got to ask. You getting soundly saved, going to seminary, preaching from the Word, talking about the sovereignty of God, how are the Christmases in the hen home?
They've seen better years.
I'll bet.
Jesus, turns out Jesus wasn't kidding in Matthew 10, 34 onward when he said he came to bring a sword, not peace, and that households would be divided. I kept trying to spiritualize that. It's literal as ever. So, it's been a little tough, but I can tell you this. I've had a couple of family members call me privately and say, praise God, we think the same. We're cheering it on. You're absolutely right. We're not pastors, so we're not in a position to do what you're doing, but we're praying for you. I've had my own mother throw out Jesus calling because it's mystical and she wants to be a Berean. She's tossed out the Gloria Copeland and Joyce Meyer. I've had my own father come to me and say, we did a lot of things wrong. And I don't know what up and down is right now, but I know I want to get it right. And so relationships are for the purpose of evangelism now, while other family members, two of them very, very close to me, are tied in with Bethel. My Uncle Benny's daughter married a man who's tied in with Bethel, so they're really close. And Uncle Benny now is tied in with Bethel and Bill Johnson. So there's a bit of a divide, but we're going to keep serving the Lord and letting His Word and the Holy Spirit do the work that they do.
When was the last time you talked to Uncle Benny?
My grandmother's funeral 2 years ago. We passed one another, and he said, Costi, baby, I'm so glad you decided to come. And I said, well, Uncle Benny, I wouldn't miss it for the world. My grandmother died. I remember being there, standing near my grandmother's casket, who had been begging my uncle for years to get rid of some of his friends and to stop teaching certain things. My grandmother was a praying woman and had felt in the later years of her life for sure that her son wasn't really on track and that the family was heading a certain direction it needed to stop. And I remember weeping right there at the casket during the viewing. And I wasn't weeping because I don't know where the dead are. I have hope in heaven. But I was weeping because of what our family had become. And my uncle walked up beside me and said, she's not there. You know that. And I said, yes, Uncle Benny, I know. And I just kind of walked and sat down. He ran the service. And I just remember thinking, you can't miss it more than this as a family. Like, we got a false gospel. The God's word is so clear, and I just want to save people. I know God does the saving, but you know what I mean when I say that. I just want to throw the rope and help. So we're in the middle of it, like a lot of people,
and you know what, Costi, this should be our attitude. Like the prosperity on the backs of poor people, the promises, the heartache, the tragedies that had been created because of the ministry of Benny Hinn. We still want Benny to get saved, so we should pray Absolutely. To that end, and I hope that you have the opportunity to continue to witness to him. When we return, Costi Hinn, author of Defining Deception, how you can help the Costi in your life, next on Wretched Radio.
What do altercations, arguments, bickering, disagreements, disputes, and fights have in common? They are all inevitable, and they are also avoidable. Conflict is our newest Wretched resource, designed to give you the tools and skills you need to fight biblically. That's right. Conflict will teach you how to fight biblically, which will make all of your other fights go away. If you're weary from the battles in your home, Conflict. To purchase your copy, go to wretched.org.
So recently, I was cleaning out some drawers in my desk. It happens on occasion, and I stumbled across an old letter that I had received from a Tomorrow Club that Mrs. Friel and I support in Ukraine. It said this: there was a church in Ozera Village, but it collapsed for some reason in 2000. The Tomorrow Club started there in 2006 after the English camp. Elyona Bondarenko was the one who repented through this Tomorrow Club. She grew up, and today she is running this club, bringing the gospel to other children. Most of the Tomorrow Club children are ages from 7 to 10, and most of them are from problem families. There's also a group of non-Christian teenagers who come to the Tomorrow Club. Please pray that they trust their lives to God. How would you like to receive a letter like that? You can support your own Tomorrow Club. Simply visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
The debates Christians find themselves in these days are littered with landmines. Transgenderism, LGBTQ issues, freedom of speech, abortion, postmodernism, marriage. Expository Apologetics with Dr. Vodi Bakum will lead you through these landmines. You will learn how to turn every morality debate into a witness encounter. Culture has changed. The Word of God has not. Let Vodi Bakum equip you to wield the sword of the Word, not to win arguments, but to win souls. To purchase your copy, go to wretched.org.
Mexican.
The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the Eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God, the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Benny Hinn, he is perhaps the face of the prosperity gospel, and he has a nephew who done got saved. This is Wretched Radio, Defining Deception, a new book by one Costi W. Hinn. And as the name would suggest, he's related to prosperity preacher, supposed faith healer, Benny Hinn. Costi done got saved after working for his uncle. He went to a seminary. He is now preaching in a Bible-based church, and his book, Defining Deception, encourage you to get it, has been endorsed by pretty much everybody who is anybody. Thanks, by the way, Costi, for asking me to endorse your book. Grateful for that. Nevertheless, we're going to talk about Costi Hinn's knowledge of what it took for him to see the truth. Obviously, we know the power of the Holy Spirit, but he was behind the curtain in the ministry of Benny Hinn. He saw the lavish spending, the treatment of the poor, the treatment of the sick. There was a false gospel. There were no genuine, instantaneous, verifiable, organic healings, and God saved him, even though he worked for his uncle Benny Hinn. And so, Costi, I suspect that you can help those of us who know a Costi Hinn who's following Benny or Ken Copeland or who whatever prosperity preacher it is, based on your experience, based on your studying of the Word of God, give us some practical, helpful advice for how we should engage with those we love who are caught up in the prosperity or the NAR movements.
Yeah. So let's start with category one. There is a very limited category, and it is for false teachers. Let's say it. You can argue from the New Testament that we're to keep the worst of the worst, the heretics, at a bit of arm's length and pray for them, but we don't need to be going for Sunday brunch with them and muddying the waters. I understand that. But other than that, there is a clear model in the Bible for keeping relationships with people for the purpose of evangelism. I want to keep that bridge up, and flame throwing and being angry and going kind of ad hom on arguments and character assaults of my unsaved or charismatic friends or third wave followers is not going to get me anywhere. What I remember, now let's go experiential and then back it up with Bible, of course, everything through the text. What I remember was not flame throwing by the Baptists. I remember watching their lives. I had relationships, and as I observed them live out their faith, I couldn't find a lot of holes. There was a pursuit of holiness. There was a love for Christ. There was a passion for the gospel, and it was so different than me that at first I thought, they don't have the Holy Spirit. But as I begin to see the fruit in their lives, I'm going, well, maybe I'm missing something, and I started to question. Beyond that, I had a pastor and friends who came around me. Again, it was relationships. They didn't say, hey, you know your uncle's a heretic and you know you're unsaved, right? While there might be a moment for that, there were questions. They would say, Costi, I got a question for you. So, like what you did in the interview, Todd, what was going through your mind during those crusades? Or what are your thoughts on your uncle in the ministry. Did you ever have any concerns? Asking questions so I could be talking and begin to verbally process things that I had already thought, but no one had ever given me a safe place to discuss. So that would be another thing. But I'll turn to Jude's words now. At the end of a letter where he says, you need to contend for the faith. I really wanted to talk about our common love for the gospel and our common faith together, but we need to talk apostasy. We need to talk false teachers. At the end, he says to them, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, in verse 21 of the book of Jude. And then he goes on to give what I would think are categories for how to operate with people and have mercy on some who are doubting. Category one, save others, snatching them out of the fire. Category two, and on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. I'd let my Uncle Benny be in that third category. I have mercy on him with fear. I'm very concerned for his salvation. I want him to be saved. I hate the sin. I hate the prosperity gospel, but I don't hate him, and I want to see him saved. But there's others. There's those who need to be snatched from the fire. They're ripe for the picking. Well, if I have spent my time with people insulting them and debating foolish controversies and spending too much time in vain wrangling, then I'm not going to get the opportunity to be the one to harvest that soul. God will use somebody else because he's going to save who he's going to save. But we want to make sure that we are keeping those relational bridges up. When people are ripe for the picking, I don't know about you, Todd. I think I'm right, though. You're an evangelist by nature. You love to see people get saved. I want to be ready. I want to have relationships with people who know they can come to me. So we need to keep our doors open and our Bibles open and our hearts and ears open. And then the first category would be those questioners, and have mercy on some who are doubting, Jude says. We need to be merciful. When people are confused and they're caught up and being deceived, we don't need to come at them with aggression and condescending rhetoric to give them ammunition to say, well, typical of you Calvinists, or, you know, fire and brimstone Baptist, I don't really appreciate you going personal. We need to really be careful and ask questions and learn to keep our emotions in check and speak the truth in love.
All right. Costi Hinn, author of Defining Deception, he got saved even though he worked for Uncle Benny Hinn. And I'm glad you ran to Jude, because in preparation for this, that's precisely the book that I read in thinking about this. And I saw those three categories at the end of Jude also. We want people to be saved. And I think what you said is very helpful. But I want you to just kind of to re-stress this, Costi. If I know somebody who's caught up in the prosperity movement, in, you know, some of the zaniness that is the New Apostolic Reformation movement, I just feel like I've got to confront them and I've got to tell them how wrong they are, and I've got to do it immediately, and I can't just have a dinner. I can't let a single happy time. I can't have Christmas with them without confronting them and putting them against the wall. I have that feeling. Would you please release me from that burden?
Yeah. So you got to live in the tension. On one hand, we are responsible for sharing the truth. On the other hand, we don't control salvation. God does. He's the author and finisher of it. He'll do it, and he'll do it in his good time. But we aren't the originator and author of salvation.
But, here's my feeling. If I don't take every single opportunity to tell them that they're following a false system and that they're going to hell, I have this sense about me that I'm not being a true and faithful witness. Help me jump over that hurdle so I can do that.
Okay, I've got a almost four-year-old kid. If I spend every waking moment slapping him upside the head, telling him to tuck his shirt in and make his bed, that's not a relationship. That's a dictatorship. That's just foolish dominance. If I'm spending time with people for the purpose of winning them, quote unquote, to Christ, and a relationship is the way to do that, then I need to understand that a relationship is not just a one-way conversation. I come at you and I tell you. No, I need to be able to relate with people. And to be honest, if you go even further biblically, you remember all the Pauline statements, such were some of you. we need to remember where we've come from. It helps to calm us down a little bit and realize that there are people in the midst of their process of questioning, and it isn't God's good time yet to convert them, but we are part of that. A relationship is full and robust of talking and loving and, yes, exhorting. But the New Testament doesn't just command to reprove and rebuke and exhort. There's a gentleness and a patience to what Paul was saying to Timothy as well. So, yeah, Todd, you're absolutely right. A relationship is not a one-way lashing nonstop because I got to get this burden off and I got to save people. And if I don't tell them, well, that's a real selfish way of thinking because there's a relationship to be had. And there are times, and I've seen you do it, where you get on a street corner and it is a one-way conversation to start. But I've also seen you put the mic down and talk with people and walk them down the biblical road that you were just shouting about in a one-way conversation. So does that make more sense?
Yeah, I actually took notes. So let me just do a little recap. We want to love these people. We don't want to retaliate. We do not need to be nasty. Jude does not describe our relationship in those terms. Ask questions. Be merciful. Share when you can out of a love and a concern and a gratitude to God for saving you. And the only other thing that I would add, Costi, then, is use all of that energy where you just wanted to whack them upside the head with the book of Jude. Pray for them like nobody's business. Costi, amen. Very grateful, very glad that God saved you. Thank you for being a loving voice to expose what's going on in the Prosperity NAR movement. But even beyond that, to help people know the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might be saved the same way that God saved you. A Defining Deception, Costi Hinn is the author. Encourage you to get it. Memorize a lot of it, because this is the fastest growing form of Christianity on the planet, and we should know more about it. Defining Deception helps us to do that. Costi, we thank you, and until tomorrow, go serve your King.